This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to the 67th episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at newworldnextweek.com, and you can get high-quality, low-quality versions of the video, as well as even audio only, and even sometimes some captions. And, James, we were just discussing a couple moments ago how our previous episode on the Japanese crisis is now pretty much, I think, our most watched New World Next Week episode. It's my most downloaded from my archive, and I guess we basically want to say thank you to folks out there and welcome to maybe some of the new viewers and listeners and audience members who may be joining us. So again, we're nonpartisan here. We try and break down the false left-right paradigm and look at the most important things going on in alternative news and open source intelligence. So James, after last week's episode focusing exclusively on the Japanese situation, we're going to take a little detour around the world here, but of course end with updates on the Japan situation. But we'll begin with a story from the New York Times that I have posted to foodworldorder.com. Food inflation kept hidden in tinier bags, a stealth downsizing as shoppers pay more for less food, or as Gothamist.com puts it, Nabisco is cheating you out of precious saltines. But taking it from the New York Times, chips are disappearing from bags, candy from boxes, and vegetables from cans. As an expected increase in the cost of raw materials looms for late summer, consumers are beginning to encounter shrinking food packages. With unemployment still high, companies in recent months have tried to camouflage price increases by selling their products in tiny and tinier packages. So far, the changes are most visible at the grocery store, where shoppers are paying the same amount but getting less. In every economic downturn in the last few decades, companies have reduced the size of some products, disguising price increases and avoiding comparisons on same-size packages before and after an increase. Each time, the marketing campaigns are coy. This time, the smaller versions are greener, packages good for the environment, or more portable, little carry bags for the takeout lifestyle, or healthier, fewer calories. Where companies cannot change sizes, as in clothing or appliances, they have warned that prices will be going up as the costs of cotton, energy, grain, and other raw materials are rising. Consumers are generally more sensitive to changes in prices than to changes in quantity, notes John T. Gorville, a marketing professor at Harvard Business School, and companies try to do it in such a way that you don't notice, maybe keeping the height and width the same, but changing the depth, or so the silhouette of the package on the shelf looks the same. Or sometimes they add more air to the chips or scoop in the bottom of the peanut butter jar so it looks the same size. We have a few related links that I would implore folks to check out, from the Baltimore Sun on food inflation, from CNN, crumbling economy will make for thinner boxes of Girl Scout Thin Mints, and also from The Gothamist and referencing this greener packaging. Sun Chips ditches their biodegradable bag over noise complaints. So even as they're pushing the green agenda, the pushback from the consumer says, well, I don't want a noisy chip bag. So, James, before I throw it back to you, you know, I work at an independent grocery store here. It's an Oregon-only chain, and this is something that I see firsthand, and I've seen it for the last couple of years as sizes change, but the proportions of the package stay the same, but the price stays the same. So you're, again, paying more for less. And it's almost come to the point where I wonder, James, if grocery stores are not unlike banks, which are not unlike, you know, higher education institutions. It's those things that keep us coming back for more and more and more, when we could essentially learn how to grow or create or learn these things for ourselves. James.
Right. Well, that's an important point, and one that they would like you and I and everyone else not to think about. But let's think about it, because I think that is ultimately one of the ways that we're going to really derail this whole system that's being constructed around us. Because, as you say, it relies on us being reliant on them when we are not. We can be self-reliant, and we do not need these big box store or supermarkets to go and get these packages of increasingly smaller size but the same price. And I think paying more for less is pretty much the slogan that we could use to describe the current economic meltdown. I mean, this is what an economic meltdown looks like on the ground. It's not necessarily going to be runs on the bank and people screaming in panic, but it's going to be a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more gouging out of people's pockets every single week. And it just gets to the point where people really start to notice it. But once you notice it, what are you going to do about it? I mean, there's not much you can do if you are reliant on their sources of food. And I'll put that in quotation marks because a lot of it is of questionable nutritional value, as you know. But I think this is probably nothing new, the fiddling with packaging, but the fact that it's going on at such a wide array of products at the same time shows there is something going on. And I don't know how the food price index and the CPI and all of that works, but I'm assuming that they'll say that there isn't that much inflation because one box of crackers or whatever costs the same as it did last week. It's just the one box is smaller. So there's all sorts of fiddling going on into this type of calculation. But we have to realize the economic meltdown is happening, and just don't listen to the shills and mouthpieces for the establishment who tell us that there are green shoots or whatever stupid slogans they come up with to try to tell us that there's no economic problem.
Now, James, for our second story, it'll be the first of two amazing pieces from activistpost.com, and we'll turn from here in the North American Union to the world abroad. Liberals willing to trade blood and treasure for oil profits under Obama. It's perplexing to see a high level of support for the unprovoked bombing of Libya on so-called progressive websites. There have been an endless stream of humanitarian propaganda flowing from these sites, trying to convince average liberals that the human thing to do is to rain down Tomahawk missiles with depleted uranium to bring freedom and democracy to an oppressed people. Huffington Post, of course, now gobbled up by AOL and all the others, ran a piece by Ed Schultz titled, "Why I Support President Obama's Decision to Invade Libya," where he described his reasoning as follows, quote, "President Obama explained this won't be a long-term operation, matter of days, not a matter of weeks, not even months. He's trying to give the rebels, those who want democracy, a fighting chance, and at just that, and trying to stop Gaddafi from slaughtering his own people. This is the human thing to do," end quote. But the very use of the word invade in the title, Schultz would seem to know and understand that the continued military support is likely to last for quite some time. Indeed, this was confirmed Sunday morning when Gates and Shillery hinted that the operation could indeed last for months, which seems to debunk Schultz's main argument that it's only a days-long conflict. Need we mention the, of course, cakewalk and greeted as liberators in Iraq story? Establishment progressives can no longer hide behind phony labels. They have officially joined the ranks of the war party, serving up American blood and treasure to support profits for the military-industrial complex and big oil while compromising on austerity cuts at home. James, I'll throw in a couple of related updates that we have from 21stCenturyWire.com. They note that the Central Bank of Libya is 100% state-owned. And that may give you a little angle to look at this story. And an update from just a few hours ago, and it's March 30th to me here in the States from Reuters. President Barack Obama has signed a secret order authorizing covert U.S. military support for rebel forces seeking to oust Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. James.
Oh, and the covert rebel forces just happen to be tied in with al-Qaeda, but it's all right if they're on our side, I guess. Yeah, no, I suppose it shouldn't be surprising in any way to see what's happening playing out right now, but it is surprising still nonetheless that there are so many people on the left side of the phony left-right paradigm who are going along with this because it's their team, it's their side, it's their war, it's their dear leader who's doing it, and I shouldn't be surprised, but I still am. I'm still shocked to be reading these left-leaning online sites and seeing all these people justifying what's going on right now. And I'd like people to really think about how truly mentally liberating it is to decide that you are not left, you are not right, you are not red, you are not blue, you cannot be pigeonholed into one of their little pigeonholes so that you can be led along by the nose to support whatever type of military adventurism comes along. Because ultimately, the most liberating thing I think I've ever done in my life is to decide that I am not on either side of that phony paradigm, and I will absolutely oppose Bush's military adventurism as equally as much as I'll oppose Obama's. And what's going on in Libya right now is a perfect example of a time when people can make the choice to not go along with the propaganda and to stop supporting a team which has nothing to do with them and isn't about their interests. It's only about getting you to corral your mind into their little pigeonhole so that you'll go along with things that do not benefit you in any way.
And I've unfortunately heard it from, you know, smart friends of my own, heard it from, you know, I guess I kind of do support, you know, the Libya operation, and I just kind of smacked my forehead and didn't get into it at the moment.
Right, because it's exactly the same as the argument that was used for Saddam. Well, Saddam's a horrible dictator, he's being horrible to his people, therefore we have to go and bomb the country all to hell and invade and take it over. But the key to this story, I think, is the central bank issue, because as was pointed out during Bush's military adventurism, the axis of evil has a stunning similarity to the list of countries that don't have a privately owned central bank. I wonder why.
James, let's move to our third and final story this week with our second piece from activistpost.com. EPA helps mainstream media obscure truth about radiation exposure. As Americans focus on March Madness and Dancing with the Stars instead of the radioactive plume spreading all across the country, the United States Environmental Protection Agency is attempting to make the mainstream media cover-up of the Fukushima cloud a bit easier. The agency, now notorious for its infamous claim that the air was safe to breathe after 9/11, 7 days after 9/11, I may add, is now seeking to raise the PAGs, that's Protective Action Guides, to levels vastly higher than those at which they are currently set, along for more radioactive contamination of the environment and the general public in the event of a radioactive disaster. According to PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, the new standards would drastically raise the levels of radiation allowed in food, water, air, and the general environment. PEER, a national organization of local, state, and federal employees who had access to internal EPA emails, claims that the new standards will result in a, quote, nearly 1,000-fold increase for exposure to strontium-90, a 3,000 to 100,000-fold hike for exposure to iodine-131, and an almost 25,000 rise for exposure to radioactive nickel-63 in drinking water. This information, as well as the emails themselves, were published by Michael Rupert's CollapseNet.com on March 24th. As of the time of this writing, a toxic cloud of radiation has not only reached the U.S. West Coast, here where I am in Portland, Oregon, but is spread all the way across the country to states like North and South Carolina, Florida, and Massachusetts. Both the U.S. government and the mainstream media have largely denied any risk associated with the radiation and have actively engaged in covering up the extent to which it has spread across the country. James.
Right. Well, I would wonder if I was American if there was some way to bring legal action against the EPA for this, because once again, unless they can prove that there is some pressing reason for them raising these PAGs, unless there's some way for them to say that somehow human biology has fundamentally changed or they forgot to carry the zero when they were making their calculations or something, the only possible explanation for why they're raising these right now is because radiation levels are going to rise and they just don't want to have to deal with what that means. So it's exactly the same way the Japanese government has been raising maximum exposure levels on a bunch of different things, and I went over that on my last Sunday update, so it's exactly the same thing. And we can look to see this probably happening in numerous countries around the world over the next several months as Fukushima continues to spew out its toxic radiation. And unfortunately, there's no sign of it coming to any sort of resolution anytime soon. And unfortunately, there's just no good source of information on it, because the people who could be reporting what's truthfully coming out of there, including the U.S. Navy, who obviously has ships in the area that obviously would be able to use sophisticated monitoring devices, are not giving the type of information that we would need to come to any sort of meaningful assessment of what's going on. So unfortunately, we're just relying on the drip drop of information coming out of these agencies that are there to lie to you and to placate you and to make you feel good. And all of the George Monbiots and Lewis Pages and Ann Coulters and other defenders of the radiation out there, I notice they're getting a lot quieter now that Fukushima is continuing to melt down.
So, James, as we now begin to wrap it up quickly here, just I'll throw out the idea that has really kind of struck me, that it seems as though in the era of Obama that most of our biggest events have all been environmental in nature, whether that's swine flu or the Gulf oil spill or mining disasters or this nuclear situation. Just kind of an interesting thing that I think ties in with the overarching eugenics agenda.
It is interesting, but we're running out of time. So James Evan Pilato, thanks once again for putting these stories together, and I hope everyone will tune into MediaMonarchy.com.
Thank you so much. Take care.